Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you there? Okay, so let's just thank God. Thank God for life. Thank God for his word. Thank God for everything. Father, we thank you. We magnify you. We exalt you. We give you praise and glory and honor and adoration tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this service. Thank you because you stir something within us. And we go away with a deposit of your presence. We go away inspired to seek you more. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight, actually, I'm going to talk about how to pray. How to pray for long. Amen. How to pray for long. One of the biggest problems we have in the body of Christ today is prayerlessness. Are you still there? Prayerlessness. Can I hear you say prayerlessness? If we run a survey, you know, and we, you know, ask people, you know, Christians, not just anybody, Christians, in fact, Pentecostals have asked them, how long do you pray every day on average, you know, just on average? We probably won't find, we'll find that perhaps less than 10% pray for more than 15 minutes a day. Are you there? Now, that is true abroad, and there are people that conduct surveys like that. There is Thomas Rainer that does a lot of survey among Christians in the U.S., for instance. We don't have people who do those things much around here yet. Amen. That could be somebody's calling. Hallelujah. Somebody might be called to begin to give us that kind of data, begin to find the data and talk to us. But one of the big problems we have as believers is prayerlessness, is that people are not praying. To some extent, I want to believe that when people don't pray, it's actually that they don't believe what they claim to believe. Are you with me? So that's where we're starting from. Remember what I'm talking about, how to, let me call it how to extend your prayer time. Are you with me? Say how to extend. Say it, how to extend. Okay, stretch your hand. Say how to extend your prayer time. So, what's happening is that people don't pray, because if not praying is a symptom of the fact that you don't believe what you say you believe. Because if we look at what prayer is, and it's a conversation with Almighty God, it becomes a privilege. Are you with me? Remember like the hymn that says, you know, what unnecessary burden we carry, all because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Okay, so we have a big problem. Because we don't take things to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tries to tell us something. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that he that must come to God, open your Bibles with me, everybody. Amen. We're coming back. Our main text will be Luke 11. Okay? But I'm just introducing now. Are you there? How many people want to pray more? You desire to pray more? So, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, okay, so faith is believing in the unseen, okay? For he, because he who comes to God, he who therefore what? Pleases God, or he who comes to God, must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, can I hear you say diligently? So those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him means those who are passionate, those who are rigorous, those who are deliberate, those who are consistent. Amen. So when you have somebody who works with you and you say that pie guy is a diligent worker, you are referring to everything right. This guy comes on time. This guy pursues the task very well. This guy puts in a lot of passion in what you ask him to do. He goes, he's a go-getter. He gets the job done. So the Bible says that he that must come to God must believe that he is. I think it's the Amplified that says, must believe that he really exists. Okay, so I'm dissecting why. Number one first, as an introduction, why we do not pray the way we should. Okay, so why would I have the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wanting fellowship with me, and I am not praying? Are you there? So I said to you that that's because I don't believe what I should the way I should. What don't I believe? I don't believe that God really exists. And don't be too quick to say to yourself, I believe. Because when you actually believe, you know what it means? It means that every time you get up to pray, you can almost see God sitting down and having a conversation with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can virtually see that every time you get up, walk into your prayer closet, and you begin to pray, you can see that God is attentive. Is that real to you? When it becomes that real to you, you believe that it really exists. Where prayer is concerned. Are you with me? Number two thing is that if you will come to God, he says you don't just believe that God exists, okay? You believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him, meaning that there is a reward for my diligence in seeking God. Meaning that when I seek God, it is not a waste of my time, but I get something out of it. Are you there? So the story is told about somebody who's going through quite some things in his life, and he saw his friend and was telling him, in fact, all the while I went in my life now, you know, all the trouble is just too much. And in fact, this happened and that happened, and I've been trying to fix it and it's not working. And the guy says, have you prayed about it? The other man says, has it come to that? You know, so what he's looking at is that prayer is a last resort. What he's looking at is that prayer is what does not work. Are you getting what I'm saying? However, if you believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, it means that prayer becomes something you run towards. Prayer becomes something you really want to do because you believe that when you pray, something is going to happen. The more I seek God, the more something happens. Are you still with me? Number two is for us to realize, or is it number three now? Whichever number it is. Or you are following me. We're talking about what? How to extend your prayer time. How to go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. How to go from 10 minutes to 15 minutes. How to go from 15 minutes to 20 minutes. How to go from 20 to 30 minutes. Can I have an amen? So, again, one of the things you must realize is that in the aspect of the reward you get from God is that strength comes from the place of prayer. Strength. Can I hear you say strength? So we read a scripture earlier on, and that's Isaiah 40, and we read, towards the end, he was talking about they that wait upon the Lord, and he said in verse 31, I think that's the last verse, and he said what? He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 40. It's a teaching service. Hallelujah. Are you here? Hallelujah. So they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those, okay, now maybe we should actually still start it the usual way where everybody starts from, isn't it? Let's start from verse 29 this time around. He says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall what? Utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's he talking about? It's talking about the fact that the natural progression of things is that when I run, I should get weary. Am I right? I say, am I right? People who run should get weary. People who walk should become faint. But it's saying that the place of prayer takes you out of the natural into the supernatural. So think about the running, not just as running a marathon, the Lagos Marathon. Think about the walking, not just as walking from here to Ojota Junction or wherever you want to walk to. We used to call it what? When we're in the NYSC, when they say they want to walk. Endurance trek. So think about it, not in that aspect of endurance trek alone and all of that, but think about those things as what you will have to do in life.
The walk is your walk through life. The run is your running through life and running your race that is set before you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this is what God has created me for. This is the business that I'm doing. This is the home that I'm in. This is the child that I'm raising. This is the teaching job that I do. So this is the ministry that I'm called to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in all of that running the race before you, in all of that walking through life, it is normal that you get tired. Except if you're a prayerful person. Are you still there? It means that what is normal, the tiredness that is normal, will not be so for you. Are you still with me, anybody? You know, years ago I was in the UK and I went to visit a friend of mine. We had been in school together. I've known him for many, many years. I've known him since secondary school, through university and all of that. And he had been living in the UK from many years. I mean, right after I finished university, I had been living in the UK. Didn't stay in Nigeria at all. So I went to visit him in his house. And as he was taking me back home, I mean, back to where I was staying that evening, he began to talk to me. And he said to me, he said, you know, you are still the same. He said, you are still the same. You are still as passionate as I knew you to be about God and the things of God. You still pray the way you used to. You still talk the way you used to. You are still doing the things that you used to. He said, how? What is the secret? How? Can I hear you say how? You know, how do you... In fact, I remember in those days when we were in fellowship on campus, you know, when you're praying, the guy will be praying. When you pray, he prays like a boxer. And he'll be punching and punching. So basically what he was saying is that my punch is gone. Are you with me? You know, have you ever watched, you know, some boxers, when they come into the ring, they have a game plan. They need to knock you out. Huh? Like what? Iron Mike. Huh? The game is, he needs to knock you out. So when you watch another boxer like Muhammad Ali, what does he do? He drags the thing. He wants to take you to the end. You know, how many rounds do you have? 12. The guy wants to go the 12 rounds with you. He does. He's not planning to knock you out. He wants to get you weary. So at the very beginning, you are still coming. You are coming like this. The guy is dancing around. He's dancing around the ring. He's dodging your punches. He will only punch once. You know, he dances around the ring. Only they do baga, round one is over. You have been running around the ring. So what he's doing is that he has built stamina. By the time the thing is going up and you're getting to round 8, round 9, he begins to jab you more. He begins to punch you more. By that time, you have become tired, you know, and the guy has built stamina. So he has built the stamina to last that way. So if I will tell you, he said, I fly like a butterfly, I sting like a bee, you know, but he waits till you are tired before he starts his own punching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so people get tired. And my friend says, how come you are not tired? How come you are still as passionate? How come you are still doing ministry? How come you are still doing the things you do? How come you still sound like the same person I knew in university? Because they that wait upon the Lord. Are you with me? Shall renew their strength. Actually, like I keep pointing out, the word renew means what? Exchange. That word they put there and they said renew. That word means what? Exchange. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Would you like to exchange this phone? Huh? Exchange. See the way he's looking at me. Guy, he has no faith. Would you like to exchange? I like our faith. Are we? That phone is not even smart. I what do you think? How can you bring that one for this one? It's exchange. I'll collect it back. So what do? In a place of prayer, we exchange. Are you with me? You exchange your weakness for his strength. Are you getting what I'm saying? You take that which is not not smart, not give me back. are you with me? Did you get that? So you exchange your weakness and you take on God's strength. So you walk into the place, you might be tired, you might be weary, you might be wondering to yourself, what is all of this life about? When are things going to get better? This country itself, gas, cooking gas has become double the price. Petrol has become this. In fact, the thing that I bought last week for 1,000, now they say I should pay 3,500. You understand what I'm saying? So you are tired. But if you will go and wait upon the Lord, you will exchange your weakness for his strength. That is why you will be running and you won't be weary. That's why you will be walking and you won't faint. Are you there? And that's why it's important that we spend or we seek him diligently, because there is what? A reward. Now, seeking him diligently means that I can't do it as a, you know, shuke prayer. I can't do it as the kind of prayer that I do in order to tell everybody that I pray every day. After all, I'm a Christian. Oh, do you pray? Oh, yeah, I pray every day. But what kind of prayer? Does that prayer make a difference in your life? Are you getting what I'm saying? When you pray every day, you should come out of a place of prayer like somebody who is ready to face life. Your prayer time should make an absolute difference in who you become. It's almost like you're going into the prayer closet like a cat and you come out like a lion. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's almost like when even things want to weigh you down, all you are telling yourself is, I just need to find a little time to go and spend and wait upon the Lord. Are you there? And that means that the more I stay there, the more his presence, his glory, rubs off on me. Hallelujah. Now go to Luke 11. So how do I extend? Because if I stay there long, and that's the great thing. It's not just praying the prayer of faith. I ask, I believe, I receive, and that's the end of the matter. There's prayer where you are praying just to be there. You need to have staying power. Okay, the believer ought to be praying. I'm prayerful. I'm praying. I'm prayerful. The late doctor, doctor, pastor, whatever you want to call him, Yonggi Cho, just died recently. And I remember him saying, he said, if I don't pray for 1 week, I will know. He said, if I don't pray for 2 weeks, my wife will know. He's not talking about the fact that you see him or not. He's saying you will know that something is different. He said, if I don't pray for 3 weeks, the church will know that something has happened. It's like you have been stripped. Are you there? Now, let me tell you this in that light. Every time it looks like something is crowding your space and is stopping you from praying, whether it is worry, whether it is sleep, whether it's even sickness and you are waking up later than usual, do something about it quickly. It's an emergency. Are you with me? Because what is happening is that the devil is setting you up for a battle you will not have strength to deal with. Did you get that? Every time something is taking you and taking and crowding your space and taking you away from the possibility of being able to pray, it's an emergency. It's a dangerous thing because it's ensuring that you will not have strength to face the things you need to face. So it means that the things that you will ordinarily have been able to face and handle and overcome, you will face them and you will crumble before them. Are you there? Years ago, a friend of mine used to work for a fast food chain in this country. And he had no job for a while. Then he got this job and was working, you know, at this place. And then one day, I saw him and we're talking. And somehow we talked about it. And he said he had left his job. I said, why? Because, if you've had no job for a while, we all are happy that you have something. You understand? You have some income. You can at least feed yourself. You know, you don't need to ask anybody for anything. I said, why? Why did you do it? And he said, because I discovered that that job ensured that I could not pray. I could not worship God. He said, the hours were long. I resumed very early. I closed very late. And so by the time I get home, I just sleep, only to wake up, shower, and run back to work. He said, and I told myself, I'm dying slowly. He told himself the truth. Are you there? Told himself the truth. Because eventually, one day he's going to walk up to something and he will disappoint himself. And say, wow. You know, it's like Samson. Bible says he woke up one day and he said, these Philistines are upon you. He said, and he woke up as before. And he did not know that the spirit was not with him anymore. Whatever stops you from praying is absolutely dangerous and it's going to kill you. Are you still there? So Luke 11, very quickly, Luke 11. Are you getting anything yet? So perhaps one of the most precious things you have is that prayer time. While you open to Luke 11, Luke 18 verse 1, the Bible says Jesus began to teach them. I'm going to talk about Luke 11. We're eventually talking about how to extend your prayer time. But Luke 18 verse 1 again also says what, just like Isaiah 40, he said he told them, he taught them using a parable that men ought what? Always to pray and not to faint. One says always to pray and not to lose heart. One says always to pray and not to grow weary. One says always to pray and not to lose hope. Why am I quoting all of those different translations? Because when you don't pray, you lose heart. When you don't pray, you become tired. When you don't pray, you lose hope. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means that it is not the hopeless situation that faces you that's the problem. It's your prayerlessness that's the problem. It means that it's not the problem that you are faced with that is the real problem. The real problem is the prayerlessness. That is why you are tired. Are you with me? So every time you are faced with something and you feel like, I can't take this anymore, look at your prayer life. Then somebody say, oh, me. Or you say, ouch. You know, ouch is the tush way to say, yay. Instead of saying, yay, say, ouch. Abi? It's very quiet now. I'm getting to you. Am I talking about you? Are you still here? So Luke 11 verse 1. It says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased or when he stopped, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So, as he was praying, when he stopped, one of the disciples, apparently, they must have been observing him and seeing this as a pattern in his life, that he prayed. Okay, he prayed. If we come to stay in your house, would we see that you pray? Are you still there? Would we see that you pray? I'm reading a book by Jerry Savelle, and it's writing on what I learned, I think something like what I learned from my four greatest mentors. And it was talking about what they learned from Copeland, Egan, Oral Roberts, and one more person. I don't remember who that is, you know, right now. So, and it was talking about Egan. So I've read his work with Copeland. Now I'm reading on what he learned from Egan. And he said one of the things that struck him was how Egan could easily slip into the spirit. That you could go to lunch with him, and while you're at lunch, all of a sudden the man just begins to pray. And he's gone in the spirit. He said, and he told himself early on, he said, I want this kind of relationship with God. So they must have watched Jesus also. He's always praying. Always praying. He prays. You know, Luke 6 verse 12 says, he went to pray, and he prayed all night. Mark 1:35 says, a great while before day he arose and he went to pray. So he had a prayer life. Obvious prayer life. Amen. You know, if you have a rich prayer life, you can't hide it. Did you know that? When you say, I pray, you just don't see me. Have you heard that before? You're laughing, but say, well, I pray, you just don't know when. But they live with you now. Abby? You know, when we were in school, we didn't have a luxury of a room to ourselves. So even some people developed all kinds of prayer methods. For someone like me, it was terrible. My first semester in university was terrible because I didn't know how to pray. I had three other guys in the room with me, and I just didn't know how to pray. I would go out in the balcony. Luckily, we had one. So in the early in the morning, 4 a.m., I would step out in the balcony. But while I'm praying, there are three guys sleeping in the room. They were not Christians, you know. And so I'm going, shh, 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 shh. I'm trying not to make any noise and not to disturb anybody. It was sucking the air out of me. It was terrible. I was drying out. So I told myself, I said, when we go on break, me and God, we have to work a strategy. So when we went on break, I just sat there brainstorming with God that if I continue this way, I'll be in trouble. And then I gained the boldness, say, you have to get out of that place and go out of your room and get out and go and pray. Now, that took boldness. You won't understand it, but it was the day, the height of cultism in the school. Actually, my first semester in that hall, one night they came in chasing somebody. Boom, boom, boom. You see people jumping from window to bow, 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 gunshots. I thought, where am I? So now I'm going to have to get out and go pray at 4 a.m. when it's still dark and all of that. But I told myself, I have a choice. Either I do it or I dry up inside. That's how I started going out to pray on the fields. Are you with me? But other people developed other methods. So I had friends who developed the very quiet methods of praying even on their beds. And they would stay on the bed. I am still not very able to do that today. You know, because once I do that, I go on a trance. I go on a natural trance. And then before I know, you know, you wake up from the trance and then you realize that 40 minutes has gone while you are on this trance, this natural trance of not praying anything. But I had people who developed that, but they knew they had to do something. I had people who could spend 2 hours, 3 hours on the bed and they would just turn their back to the wall, and they're praying for 3 hours stretch, no sleeping, no nothing. Are you with me? So they watched Jesus, and they saw this man had a prayer life. And they said to him, teach us to pray. I did a teaching some time ago on that, on teach us to pray. One, teach us that it's important to pray. We've been talking about earlier on. Secondly, they were saying, teach us how to pray. And one of the reasons or one of the problems people have is that they're thinking, what am I going to be saying? Okay, what am I going to say? I'm going to say this just to dismiss it, not because it's not important, but because it's actually very important. It's too important, but it's so important that I cannot take it in this service, which is one reason why you should get filled with the Holy Ghost and learn to pray in other tongues. Are you there? If you're going to be very prayerful, you desire a strong prayer life, get in the Holy Ghost. Get to praying in the Holy Ghost. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? However, Jesus said that what he was then beginning to teach them here is that if you are going to develop a prayer life like mine, then you will have to have different content. Can I hear you say different content? So when he says, when you pray, say, he's not actually teaching us the Lord's Prayer that we say, okay? It's not bad to say it, amen? There's nothing wrong with saying it. But he wasn't actually teaching them a prayer word for word. He was teaching them a pattern of prayer. And that is how you extend your prayer time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 describes the same thing. And he says, in this manner pray. In this manner means this is a sample. How many people have read a book before? You've read a book before, any book. When you open the book, did the book have what they call a table of contents? So this is table of contents. So Jesus gave them a book that described what? Table of contents, saying, these are like headings of things to pray about, the kind of things you need to be praying. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, we did a teaching on that not too long ago, where we're talking about different kinds of prayer. Okay, and he was here telling them in the table of contents that when you are going to pray, if you are not just going to pray and say, Father, I thank you that I woke up from sleep. There are many people who did not wake up from their sleep today who have died. Thank you because I have not died. And thank you because you are with me today. Bless me, my wife, my children, my dog, my car, my job. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And as we go out, let all the blood-sucking demons not be near where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you make the sign of the cross and your prayer time is over. So if you are going to go beyond that, he's saying that you have to have content. Can I hear you say content? So there has to be different things packed into your prayer time beyond the bless me, Lord. And one of the first things he mentioned, he said what? You pray in this manner and you say what? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You start with worship. Worship. Some people have said worship is the highest kind of prayer. The highest form of prayer. In Psalm 150, I believe it is, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts or his very presence with praise. One of the things I've seen that most breaks my heart in this church, and when I say this church, not SGA, in this generation church, is that people don't know how to worship God. Are you there? And if we come to church and people cannot worship with the latest cog keyboard, with the best drum set, with great speakers and all that, and they can't worship God, then I know that they cannot worship God in their own rooms by themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you can't do it here with all of the assistance you get, then you can't do it on your own for sure. Are you still with me? It's like if you can't drive an automatic car, there's no way you drive a manual. Huh? You are still thinking, can you drive manual? So what you'll find, if anybody who can drive manual thinks that automatic is a walk in the park. Are you with me? Things that are automatic. My dad used to have a driver. In those days, again, for the people coming up today, there was a time in this country that most cars were manual. In fact, you were advised not to buy automatic. In case you didn't know. And the bold people bought automatic. Or the people who needed to save money. Because if you needed to, if the manual was 600,000, automatic would be 500,000 or 450. Can you believe that? I mean, car dealer, you know what I'm talking about. So you want to save money, you go and buy the manual in those days. Because your mechanic said, will tell you, when you say, I want to buy automatic, say, oh, the gear is a problem. Nobody knows how to fix that gear. When it spoils, you have to buy a new one. And it's expensive. 100,000 to buy the gear. We cannot fix it like we fix the manual gear. And then when it's not starting the money, lay yourself home. How do you say yourself? You cannot yourself for it. You cannot jumpstart it. So they will tell you all the good reasons why you should not buy automatic. And then if you're a car racer like me, no, I was. Okay. So if you're a car racer like me, automatic also is not good. Because there are ways in which you pick the speed that you can make the car jump. You know, when you are racing and you are reaching the element, you change the gear like this, you do whoo and jump forward. Or even if your brake fails, there's a way you use the gear to slow down the car and stop the car. Those who have done all kinds of things, they are nodding their heads. But the problem people had was in learning how to drive then, was how to, you know, balance removing your leg from the clutch and pressing the accelerator without the engine going off. And then it, when they are teaching you, the height of it is that they will take you to a hill. So when you say, I know how to do it, they'll now take you to a hill. That's the last part of it, to prove that you really now know how to do it. Then they will tell you, yeah, start the car now and move it. Don't let it go backwards. And, you know, you are scared. And then if you are really good, they will tell you, use the accelerator and the clutch to keep the car at a standstill on the hill. And then you have become Baba. So you are using two legs, Abi, and your hands. So my dad had a driver. So when the automatic cars were just coming on board, when you say automatic, the man say automatic. That's the car for the crippled. You say Okwaro, ne Okwaro. It's for the crippled. How can you drive your automatic? So, but that's what I'm saying. If you don't, you know, so being in church is like driving automatic. Okay? Now, in certain countries, and even now, I'm sure, there are many people who can drive an automatic car. But if you leave a car here today and they need a car badly, but it's a manual drive, they cannot. They will walk home. So if you cannot drive the automatic worship in church, you cannot do manual worship at home. Can I have an amen? Did you get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Automatic worship is the one where they are carrying you. The singer is telling you, lift your hand. He's telling you when to lift your hand. Kneel down, let's kneel down, worship God. They are trying you. Let's sing it from the depth of our hearts. Let us tell him how much we love him. Let us sing it very loud now. Let us sing it now. Okay, oh yeah, keep us stop for a moment. Let only the strings be playing. Only the strings. That's automatic worship. Then you get home where you wake up in the morning, you use water first to open your eyes. Are you with me? And then there's no light. It's hot. And you need to start worshiping him from the depth of your heart. That's manual worship. Are you with me? But if you must have what? Extended prayer time. Jesus says, you start with what? Worship. Hallelujah. You start with worship. You know, one of the things I discovered is that when you're a worshiper, actually, there are still more things to say, but I'll stop on the worship one. One of the things I discovered is that when you're a worshiper, you'll even find out that over time, you will spend 80 to 90% of your time just worshiping God with songs, in words, in other tongues, and you will not even get to asking him about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that you need. But guess what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 needs will be met. Are you still there? So when you get into it and you understand the power of it, Jesus said, after this manner, pray. Start this way. One of the key content you must have is worship. You must develop the ability to worship God. Go to Isaiah 47. I was saying something earlier on, but go to Isaiah 47. And largely, not Isaiah, Psalms. Largely, I was saying it then, perhaps more for the benefit of my youth group who are falling asleep. But the idea is this, is that one of the simplest, easiest things to do if you are interested in being a worshiper is that you must control your mind. You must focus your mind. Focus it on God and focus it on the words that you are saying or singing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's one of the simplest steps to being a great worshiper. So in Psalm 47 verse 7, it says what? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. It's not worth anything when you sing it and your understanding is not in it. You must understand what it means. You are my way maker, miracle worker. There must be an understanding that is behind those words for you that will bring your heart towards God. Hallelujah. Promise keeper. Your heart must follow it. Let me close. I think it was, who was that now that I was telling the story? And said he was praying and worshiping God one day, and God stopped him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm worshiping you." God said, "But those words don't move you." He said, "If they don't move you, why should they move me? What you are saying is not touching you. Why should it touch me? Basically, what you are saying, you don't mean it. So why should why should I take you seriously?" Are you still there? Maybe some other day we'll continue on what how to extend your prayer time. But tonight we've said what? Number one is worship. Can I hear you say worship? Learn how to worship God. If you have a problem with praying, learn how to start off and just go before God and begin to tell Him how much you love Him. Begin to tell Him how much you adore Him. Begin to thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. Begin to thank Him because He's an ever-loving God. You know, one of the things I love the most about God is His mercy. So when you talk about the mercy of God, oh my God, it moves me. Why? Because that mercy means a lot to me. Without His mercy, my God, I would have been destroyed. Without the mercy, He would have destroyed me. Let me put it that way, self. Because I'm not perfect. So I love the mercy of God. So when I'm singing about His mercy, my heart is burning with passion for Him. Because I'm thinking about how many times He's forgiven me. I'm thinking about how many things He's delivered me from. And I'm just so passionate about it. My love for Him rises to the roof. But that happens when your heart, when there's understanding behind what you say to Him. If you'll extend your prayer time, you'll have to be a worshiper. I think it was Lester Sumner that asked Smith Wigglesworth, "How are you this morning?" And Smith Wigglesworth said, "I don't ask Smith how he is. I tell Smith how he is." And then they asked him, "How do you wake up?" He said, "When I wake up, I jump and I dance before God." So if you'll extend your prayer time, you'll have to learn how to get up and just worship Him. One of the things I love the most in recent times, I mean, last, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, that I love the most is that I wake up, and when I wake up, just getting off my bed, I have a song in my heart. And I've learned to always take that song and start with it. As far as I'm concerned, it's like a love song. It's like as I wake up, God is saying, "Sing this for me. This is the one I want to hear." And as I started off that way, I found that it's so easy to just get in and enjoy His presence. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we've been talking about how to extend your prayer time. And I'll do that again some other time when I have the opportunity. Amen. Did you get something tonight? Stand on your feet, begin to exalt Him, begin to worship Him, begin to thank Him.